T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, diddle diddle, George Kittle in the middle, and confidence is running high going to Detroit.
You know, I think we're very confident. I think we had a really good camp. I think guys generally stayed very healthy throughout training camp, so we were able to keep, you know, starters on the field, competing against starters, and I think that's really good for us because if you look at our defense, it doesn't really matter. You know, we had 11 D linemen that are all very good at football. We got very good linebackers, very good safeties, corners, so, you know, we got to go against a very good defense every single day, and just getting to compete against them, I think, has made the offense confident. And I know our defense is confident because there's some cocky MFs. I love that out of them. And we're, our expectations, you know, go win at Detroit.
All right. Already got it dialed up to swag level. I like that an awful lot. By the way, we're letting you know that the Odyssey app is where you go for everything you might need here on 95.7 The Game, powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. All the interviews that we do and have done, including Rich Eisen, who we're going to jog past you in the final segment of today's show, the perfect way to send you into a football weekend coming up at 4:45 this afternoon. George Kittle's right. They got a pretty damn good defense this year. Just based on who's back in the building. They had a pretty damn good defense last year, even though there were so many guys out of the building. One of the things that we will forget over and over and over again is that the Niners defense held opponents to 207.9 net passing yards per game last year. That's fourth best in the NFL. As beat up and as injured as they were, as not being able to control time of possession as they were last year, that is an incredible statistic. I kind of put it out of my mind. Even in a year where everything went wrong, there's still quite a bit to point to that things still went right. Now, health, that's the missing ingredient. And if that ingredient is back in the soup, it should be delicious.
Yeah, that's always been the issue. I mean, about whether this is a Super Bowl contender or just another bad team. Because the first 2 years, well, they didn't have enough players, and they did get kicked around some. The third year, they had some injuries, but it was a tolerable level. It was about sort of slightly higher than middle of the road, but easily navigable. And last year, they basically were told, all your good players aren't playing this year. Good luck. So, you know, if they have average health, they will have an above average season.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's not super encouraging that Javon Kinlaw is already having below average health before a snap is taken in anger. Gives you a little bit of a yikes last year flashback. That being said, I'm not sure that is a real problem for week one or even week two. So rest up, big fella, get healthy, because week three, four, and on, I'm probably going to need you pretty bad.
Kinlaw is very important, but nobody is more important to this defensive line than the return of Nick Bosa, who says he is just going to be a human monster energy drink out there.
We have great energy. I think bringing in Zach Kerr, a good veteran, loud, funny presence, DJ's class clown, and then a lot of us are quiet, so having a guy like Zach in there to brighten the mood, and Samson's a great energy guy, goes super hard. It's a really great group. Mo kind of reminds me of Solomon and just how positive and just excited to go to work he is. I'm excited whenever he gets back. But yeah, it's just a good mesh of personalities and animated in the meeting rooms for sure.
Knowing what you know about Nick Bosa, knowing what you learn about Nick Bosa when you actually see him with your own two eyes, there might not be a player in the NFL whose voice and delivery match the intensity scale between his voice and delivery, between the intensity that you get on the field from the guy, are two totally different things, are they not?
Oh, he's... I was dozing off.
We have great energy.
He has none of the things he talked about, or at least he displayed none of them. Fortunately for the 49ers, that doesn't matter a lot. And they're not putting any electrical tape C on his jersey anytime soon. But they don't have to.
He's no Brandon Belt, that's for sure.
That damn right.
Who is?
Brandon Belt can inspire you as in few people can.
By the way, Giants won today at Wrigley Field, 3 games up on the Dodgers.
Oh, I was going to say, if they won 3 games at Wrigley Field today, that's really impressive.
Wouldn't be out of the ordinary given the way the Cubs have gone.
I mean, this is just unnecessary. Can't we all go into the weekend as friends? Come on.
I hate myself.
Yeah, I do hate myself. An old professor, well, not an old professor of mine, but a guy I know at Indiana University was like, any questions about this football weekend, let me know. Just general, put it out there. I said, can I stay on your couch and burn the stadium down if we lose to Idaho? So I'm feeling great about this coming weekend. Look, it's about football. It's about NFL. That's what we're all here for. That's what we do. And I'll tell you, when it comes to winning on the road, that's what the Niners do. The Niners, over the last 2 seasons, their 12 road wins is tied for the 4th most in this league over that span. Now, we all know that home field advantage has retreated from its level of importance, especially in the goofiness of last year. But they average time of possession over 32 minutes and 35 seconds on the road over the last 2 years, which means they have an identity. It's run the ball, pound the ball, eat up the clock, and run the clock out on the other team. Nobody in this league is maybe as prepared to play comfortably with a lead as Kyle Shanahan and the way he sees the path to victory. Time of possession is among the number one indicators of did the 49ers win or lose. I mean, it is a overwhelming percentage of his victories come with the time of possession advantage.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great play schemer and a creative one, but in terms of sort of a philosophy, it's get ahead early and then slow the game to a complete and utter halt so that the other team can't do whatever magic it has offensively. I mean, it's, you know, people will say, well, that's sort of how his father did it, and that's not entirely true. I think Kyle Shanahan, if anything has happened in his coaching career to convince him that ball control is as important as it is, was that game in Atlanta, that Super Bowl game, where he decided, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're not going to worry about time and space and distance. And he got his hat blocked for it. And I think that's been one of the things that just sort of sits at the back of his head when he's got a lead, which is, I'm not going to get cute because I don't have to. When I have to get cute, you'll know it, but I'm not going to, I don't have to dress up for every party there is. Sometimes I could just, you know, sit in a tweed suit, you know, have a nice dinner, couple of drinks, go home, be fine.
Yeah, I mean, certainly all that is true and all that is what we've observed. There is still a little part of me that is not so sure we have enough evidence to declare preferences on the level we want to. Because, and look, part of this is just bolstered by the fact that Trey Lance is here now. Because while all of what Ray is talking about is what the results tell us, is what Kyle Shanahan's choices tell us so far, his choices also tell us he's looking for more interesting personnel, and I wonder if that means he's looking to do more interesting things, if that makes sense.
I, yeah, we'll find out, I guess.
We don't know is the answer to that, of course. But I just because there's nothing else to conclude so far. And Ray brings up the Super Bowl. If Kyle Shanahan is indeed that conservative guy that he seems to be, that Super Bowl loss is the best explanation for it, because everything about his profile suggests someone who would not be conservative, right? I mean, wunderkind, genius, offensive mind is not a guy you expect to be conservative. But he has that sort of scarring experience, and it's natural to draw that conclusion. I wonder if it isn't just that he has felt that his roster has dictated a certain approach to this point, and maybe when the offense gets all these new weapons locked and loaded, he feels like he can open things up a little more regularly.
Text line asks the question, I wonder what Kyle's IQ really is. Do you really believe he is a genius? I do not. I don't think we're looking at a Mensa member, unless you're talking about the sport of football. And, like
what's
most,
the IQ for Mensa?
160?
160. I was going to say 162. So if the two of us are coming there, I mean, we're close, right? So,
well, only in that.
that would be it. But and we're probably both wrong, which means neither of us is in Mensa. But it's
the first test on the Mensa application is what IQ do you need to be up in here?
Yeah, and it's used that up in you here need, is the phrase used on the test.
Yes. Yeah, it is not a strict number. You need to be in the 98th percentile, and the score under normal conditions actually says 131.
Again, what do we know? So,
well, we're stupid.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Is Kyle really a genius?
Whatever opinion I have is at least colored by the fact that I'm an idiot.
Again, he's on the record. We have it. The thing about Kyle Shanahan, when you say a football genius, no one walks around saying he's a genius. It's football genius. This is a guy who's breaking down film when he's 7 years old, just hanging out in the back of his daddy's office. I mean, he grew up in a world of playbooks. He grew up in a world of X's and O's that unless you really grow up in that world, you can't have a head start all the way back to toddlerville in terms of NFL development. He's been speaking this language, the language of football, his entire life. And now he has impressed me as a hell of a translator. He can explain hard concepts to media members, and if he's able to do that, I think he's certainly able to do it to players, and players continue to say, talking with Kyle Shanahan is a breath of fresh air. You know where you stand. He tells it like it is, and he doesn't just tell you to do it. He tells you why he wants you to do it. The strategy, this play links to that play, so on and so forth. Is the man a genius? I don't know, but I'll say this. He knows football like Pythagoras knows triangles, okay? I mean, there's nothing you could show him or draw up on a napkin, put down in front of him, that he'd be like, wow, never thought of that. I mean, I think he's been drawing plays with bottle caps and paper clips his entire life.
Yeah, he's not a savant as much as he is a very well-trained and skilled observer. Because as you said, he's been doing this since he was seven. And
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I think the language analogy is a really good one, actually, because think about, the difference between what any of the three of us could get done if we tried to learn Spanish versus, the immersive nature of learning Spanish as a kid in the house, right? Like, we all know that's something that can't really be replicated once you get to a certain point, and I think he has that kind of, familial institutional knowledge of the game of football.
Like Steph Curry has, like Klay Thompson. When you grow up in a court, in a stadium, on a field, you're just more comfortable day one than the next guy could possibly pretend to be. It's what you've done. It's who you are. It's part of you. So he had a huge head start, and he has never taken his foot off the learning pedal the entire way. And coaches who are older than him consult with him about trends and ask him questions. And he is wildly curious, and has asked every question in the book to, I think, everyone with a huge coaching reputation. So the knowledge is deep, the talent hopefully is deep, and the health, if it's deep, means this should be a heck of a year for the 49ers. Joe Staley was on the Chris Peterson, Kyle Madison 49er podcast, and he gave this for his season prediction.
Here's my prediction. I think if they want to get to where they want to go this year, they got to start really fast, and this is a perfect game for them to come out and tell the whole entire NFL like what they are this year. You know, I think there's a lot of unknowns about the team they're playing and Dan Campbell and, you know, what kind of schemes they're going to run on defense, but also there's a lot of questions about what 49ers offense is going to do. And everybody's talking this whole entire offseason about how many injuries they had last year and how decimated they were and how talented this roster is, and they need to come out and show everybody that's exactly the reason why they're going to be there at the end. And it's a big statement game, and I expect them to come out and get at it.
Every element of this game feels like the Niners can exploit it. The offensive line, the quarterback, who they've got a long history of beating. The Niners eat Jared Goff for lunch. They have since he's become a pro. Dan Campbell is going to be in way over his eyeballs in terms of understanding football like Pythagoras understood triangles, the way that Kyle Shanahan, again, can probably regurgitate more playbook to you than Dan Campbell's ever even read. So from a talent standpoint, and remember, there was an 0-16 Detroit Lions team. Last year's team was not that team, yet they had a worse defense than the 0-16 Lions. If that doesn't sound like taking candy from a baby, it's the biggest mismatch the Niners are going to have all year, right in week one.
Don't sleep on Philadelphia. As a mismatch too.
But a little bit more talent there. You're right about Sirianni being a novice, but you know, Jalen Hurd isn't untested. The Eagles did win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. So
yeah, with a whole different roster.
Sure.
But what I would say about Detroit is the only two places where they might be competitive with the 49ers, just in terms of personnel, are maybe the secondary and maybe the place kicker. Everywhere else, the 49ers are simply better all over the place. And you can't dress an upset if you're punching upward in that many places. The 49ers basically would have to lose this game to lose this game. And by that, I mean...
Five turnovers.
Four, yeah. Well, I was going to say four, but okay, five. Or they have to get four people hurt. Because if they play at a reasonable level for them and the Lions play at a reasonable level for them, it's a 17-point game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's right. Knock on wood, we don't get to see the sort of nightmare scenarios Ray is proposing would cause a Niners loss. Because, boy, I don't know that I can handle another season of injuries like last year. That was just no fun at all, and I'm here for the fun. I don't know if I've ever told you guys that. But this Lions team, I guess part of this depends. Do you buy into all the Jared Goff trashing that we've been witness to this offseason? And I kind of do. So... To me, I'm looking at a team with a not very good quarterback, virtually no running game, and a defense that you just described as worse than an 0-16 team. That's a game you can't lose.
It's a little early to be using the phrase must win.
Yeah, it's definitely not a must win. But I will say this. Dan Campbell is the kind of coach who you hire when you want to change the culture first. Because it takes longer to change a roster. And I think the fact that he was hired and has been selling himself the way he has suggests to me that he's trying to instill in this team a sense of self-worth that Matt Patricia couldn't.
They tuned Patricia out.
Oh, almost immediately. And yet he's now back in New England as Parcells, not Parcells, I'm sorry, Belichick's very definite right-hand guy. There was a story in the Boston Globe about it today. He is the next Belichick. He will succeed him. But
what about Josh McDaniels?
Josh McDaniels will end up coaching in Houston in 2 years.
Definitely not Indianapolis. He wore out his welcome there fast.
Yeah. In about a day.
Wasn't the whole story? I thought the whole story was they promised him that when he came back from Indianapolis or something. Well, whatever.
Yeah, funny the way that works. Hard to believe that somebody in football wouldn't honor their word.
Yeah, good point.
But, no, I think Dan Campbell is a guy who's basically in charge of shoveling out the stable.
We're going to buy somebody else, off.
And then somebody else will have to, you know, rebuild it and make it smell better than it has.
Somebody on the text line says, talking about mismatches, it's not even Detroit. Week 17 at the Texans is the biggest mismatch. You know, theoretically, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to meet you there because that is 17 weeks of football down the road.
Yeah.
And the amount of things that change in a 17-week football season is prolific. No one's going to be who they are today 17 weeks from now. And I'm not saying that the Texans are going to be, you know, the match that lights football curiosity's torch or anything like that. And it's just not going to happen. They're going to have a terrible year. You can almost see that they are in full tank mode with the trade of Roby. And they are looking to put themselves in a position to have a top two or three draft pick next year. And that's when they're going to select their quarterback. Or maybe Deshaun Watson has cleared a level of legal hurdles that have him back in good graces, but then I don't even know if he wants to be there anymore. I mean, it is just such a disaster that only the Detroit Lions' reputation historically can match the current Texans' reputation. So,
and yet the Texans could win on opening day. They're at home against Jacksonville.
Hey, anything can happen on opening
day. Hey, you sleeping on Trevor Lawrence, Ray. Don't...
I'm not sleeping on the other 21 guys, though.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. You're not sleeping on Trevor Lawrence either.
You don't get to be one. You don't get to get Trevor Lawrence unless you sucked, and they sucked.
Somebody says, "Are you guys upset that Shanahan is being mean to the media?" No, as a matter of fact, we would be very short with the media on certain questions if we were Kyle Shanahan too. I wouldn't want to answer another question about Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo or what you think this year is going to look like. I mean, here's the thing. All head coaches probably can agree on this one statement right now. The time for talking is through. There's nothing left to say. Gone through an offseason, a preseason. It's time to play football. Let the play do the talking, not the press conference.
Yeah, I guess I'm not mad at him at all.
No.
I guess what I would say is he ought to recognize that he absolutely brought this on himself. Like, I have no problem with not wanting to answer things, but there are ways to do it that involve getting asked it fewer times in the future, and he chose violence, so to speak.
Well, every question should have been answered with two words. Nate Sudfeld. Because if you're not going to take it seriously, they'll eventually figure it out. Just say, how did Lance look today in practice? Nate Sudfeld. What do you think about Garoppolo today? Nate Sudfeld. You do that about four or five times, people will take the hint in ways that, you know, trying to give longer and more involved answers don't. I mean, it's the reason why the press conference that Bill Belichick gave, where he was on to Cincinnati, ended as quickly as it did. Because he basically said, sorry, you guys got to fill your own notebooks today.
Right. That's the point, right? You don't necessarily have to be a schmuck about it the way Belichick enjoys to be, but if you make it very clear that you're not getting anything out of this at the beginning, they will eventually stop asking. The problem with Kyle is he likes to give really long answers that don't answer the question, and that has the double effect of making it seem like you want to talk while leaving a lot of questions to be asked.
While making it clear that he doesn't want to talk.
You know, right. this is a little bit like the world that Steve Kerr carved out for himself. Like, he's friendly with the media. The media almost looks to take advantage of him at times. And there are certain ways to go about defusing bombs or making sure they explode faster. again, not to touch any sore subjects, but Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a way to work around the ever non-ending questions of his future, and he went about it the worst way possible. I mean, he really did. He left curiosity hanging in the air all the time just by not satisfying a simple thing. And Kyle Shanahan's kind of done that too. He has made his own bed, and the fact that you traded all that to move up when you have a quarterback you claim to like, to insert a rookie, you are 100%. 100% going to face the music with the media. He's tired of singing to the media. Get him out on the field. We'll have a whole new line of questions, and I'm sure as long as they win in Detroit, everyone will be in a good mood. We were talking about roster churn. The last moment of roster churn is the addition of Josh Norman, basically, to this team. He's a very late addition, and what made him choose the Niners?
I've been blessed to play this game for 10 years, man, honestly. A whole decade in a sense of, you know, a lot of people go through life and they find out what they want to do, right? They go to college, they go to school, and they become a professional in it. I got my professional degree in football. And honestly, this is kind of how I've been my whole life, and it's something I want to do, I'm going to do it. And this time of year, I can honestly say I've done what I want to do in this league except one thing, and that's winning a championship. So my next suitor for me was going to be who that was on my list, and San Fran was at the very top of that list.
Okay, we're going to have to work on the name of the city just a little bit. But there you go. I mean, Josh Norman probably had one or two options, and he chose the Niner option, the way that people and free agents and guys with options walked away from the Golden State Warriors after Klay Thompson got hurt. The Niners do feel like a bet that is a pretty good bet if you want to be on a team that is built to contend. There are no guarantees, no promises.
But isn't Josh Norman in the Otto Porter basket?
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, yeah, you chose the Niners, but you probably only had three or four choices at the most, so it's not like the Niners. I think, to torture your analogy, the Niners kind of are the Warriors, and it's the Rams or the Bucks who are more like the Lakers or Nets.
No one ever says, when they join a new team, man, I wish I was somewhere else.
No, but he gave
it's
a specific
always,
reason.
It's always,
right?
You know, this is what I dreamed of. Nah, this is what was handed to you. You know, I mean, however many choices you had, unless you had choices to make lots more money or be a starter again, you know, you went to the one that either made the most sense or the only one available to you.
The truth. Why,
I'm not saying that he won't be an impactful player, but, you know, he ended up here after a long time being on the market because other teams didn't want him for whatever. Maybe they didn't like his attitude. Maybe they didn't like the fact that he talks back from time to time. Maybe they looked at his game and they say, that's not the Josh Norman we remember. The fact is the 49ers had a crying need and he was there. So, you know, I'm not trying to predict that he's done. I'm just saying that when you have few options, the one you take is the one you pretend is the one you wanted all the time.
Well, I don't know if he thinks the Niners have a better chance than anyone else to win. But I don't know that there's any reason to doubt the general premise that of his choices, they were the most able to win. And I very much doubt that they offered him significantly more money than anywhere else. So I buy his reasoning. I Ray's right. I mean, this doesn't mean he looked at the offseason and said, well, of all the 32 teams, this is the one most likely to win, so I think I'll go there. No, he's not in that position. But I do believe that the Niners' likelihood of competing for something is part of what might have made a less clear choice more clear.
Right. Josh Norman wasn't on Kyle Shanahan's or D'Amico Ryans' wish list.
No.
It was a circumstance. A circumstance that both were kind of at the end of their choices, and he was probably the best choice on the board for them from the remainders of free agents and vice versa. Someone asked on the text line, is Richard Sherman done? I will say that the largest pause possible in a career has been pushed on Richard Sherman. It does not mean it's time to lose the cassette tape. Enough happens in football to where Richard Sherman signing on with a team later on in this year is not out of the realm of possibility if he gets back in a better mental space that obviously, you know, really, really went wrong for him one night back home up in Seattle. So I would be surprised to see Richard Sherman at any point in time this year, but I'm never saying never to anything in this league because that's how this league works.
That's how this league works, but I want him to be done for as long as it takes for him to get his life together.
That's the perfect way to say it. Absolutely.
I want him not to consider football until the things that he's lost in the last year in terms of family life, personal life, everything that isn't football, until he can either regain or remold those things, I want him to play exactly zero downs.
I think we're all on the same page with that. And I imagine we're also all on the same page that, all that being said, the moment he tells the NFL convincingly, I'm doing okay, somebody will be willing to sign him.
Oh, no question. I mean, they're willing to sign nearly anything.
Yeah.
That's the truth of the NFL. But for I'm not rooting for teams. I'm rooting for
Agreed.
Him to be able to wake up one day and go, I feel great about myself.
Right.
And I feel great about the people around me. When he does that, then go play football again if you've still got game.
His personal life is much more important than his professional existence in this league. And we wish him the best because that's a guy who is, you know, but for one night, an incredibly thoughtful, really, I mean, just as knowledgeable a football player as the sport of football can produce. And there might be something, there might not be anything left for him physically, mentally, whatever he wants to do in this game, should his mentals be right, he understands it all. So we talked about what would be the worst case scenario for the Niners. Like, how could Detroit possibly upset them? 4 or 5 turnovers. Well, Tom Brady survived a 4-turnover game last night, which is really impressive, considering the last time that Tom Brady led a team that turned the ball over 4 times in one game was all the way back in 2012. He did it at Foxborough, and his Patriots lost to the 49ers. The 49ers did that to him in one of the single best games that Colin Kaepernick ever played. As a matter of fact, that was probably the game in Foxborough that, had Colin Kaepernick not looked lickety-split in, Harbaugh might have gone back to Alex Smith, but Kaepernick so overwhelmed the Patriots that day and didn't do it with his legs, but did it with his arms. It was a 4-touchdown day for Colin Kaepernick. Does anyone want to have the guts to just think, who the first touchdown go to? I guarantee you don't pull this right out of your mind. Who did his first touchdown go to that day, Ray?
No idea.
Congratulations. Randy Moss.
Yeah, that would have been my 9th guess.
Exactly. Randy Moss. That 49er team obviously went on to lose to the Ravens in that year's Super Bowl. Just to let you know how a football lifetime ago that moment was. Tom Brady targeted Aaron Hernandez 19 times in that game. He had 10 catches and a touchdown. Aaron Hernandez would go on to target other things in his career.
Yeah, if you targeted him 19 times and he had 10 catches, either he had bad hands that day, Brady was inaccurate, or they were covering him awfully well.
They were laying the wood.
It was a great Niner defense. I don't doubt that they were covering him really well.
It was a great defense. By the way, seven months later, Hernandez was arrested for first-degree murder. So, yeah. Football's been dotted with questionable folks, which is, by the way, like every single time Antonio Brown makes a catch, I can't even go on Twitter. The amount of, like, how did this league let a guy like that? Because talent. You're going to hate the answer every single time, but that's the answer. Talent wins.
He's so good that he can commit an obvious offensive pass interference, still catch the ball, and help win a game.
That was not him.
That was
Chris Godwin.
That was Chris Godwin.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. But I slandered the man unnecessarily. I apologize.
But by the way, let a player play on the sideline right there. Like, there are so many advantages given to the offense. But that to me was a let the player play moment, even though it went against the defense. I thought I didn't have a problem with that. I really didn't last night. I saw the whole world going bup, 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 but remember the world is made up of a lot of douchey Cowboy fans on Twitter. So,
well, but also I you know, that's one of those plays where the defender's hands were on him when he pushed him. So who commits the pass interference first? So I'm with you. Just let some stuff go, for God's sakes.
By the way, you know what we can't let go of? The fact that the Giants are now three games up on the Dodgers after a win at Wrigley today. Each week we talk about what's at stake for the Giants coming up this weekend. Brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. And after today's win, again, three big, full, fat games ahead of the Dodgers. Your probables for the weekend are Gausman tomorrow against Zach Davies. Sucks. And Logan Webb against Justin Steele. So those are your two best pitchers going Saturday, Sunday. You already picked up a win in a bullpen game. That's what's at stake. Brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Shop at harrisranchbeef.com. And before we get you to Rich Eisen and get you right back into the NFL with a conversation that takes you through the Niners, through the West, and through his own personal experience with COVID-19, what we've got for you is the most amazing thing.
Oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh my God, that is amazing. Oh my God, this is going
to
be...
Don't say it, I swear to God. Now, it's time for the most amazing thing.
It's amazing. So amazing.
Consistency. The single hardest thing to find in sports, with all the moving around to free agents, coaches, coordinators. And when you look at Alabama, the one thing that they've never had other than Nick Saban and an incredible recruiting class year in, year out, is consistency. There's a coach leaving, a coordinator leaving, and we're dealing with college kids, which breed a level of inconsistency, even through great programs, that this, to me, is the most amazing thing. Ray and Matt, Alabama has won 99 straight games against unranked teams. That's incredible. Now, it feels on the surface like, of course, they are. Alabama's an overlord. They're going to beat everybody that's unranked. But again, college kids, new languages being installed and removed due to a revolving door at coordinator positions. The fact that Nick Saban never allows his team to play down to its opponent is as an amazing statistic in Nick Saban's career as his trophy case.
Well, the one thing to remember is that not every unranked team is 4-8. A lot of them are like 8-4.
Yeah.
I have seen Alabama play down to its opponent from time to time, but they don't do it twice in a row.
Right. They still win the game.
They will win. They will not only win the game, but Nick Saban will see to it that they do not look as sloppy as they do the next time they play. That's the thing that separates Alabama from most other places. They not only win games that maybe they don't play at their best, they don't not play at their best twice in a row.
Yeah. The point you made, Damon, about to have a group of college kids, not just a group of college kids, but a group of kids that changes every year, frankly, a coaching staff that changes every year, and... like, that's not non-Power 5 teams. That's unranked teams. There's only 25 ranked teams at any given point. Like, that means...
right, there's a lot of unranked SEC teams that he kicks right. their ass every year.
Yeah, like, he's... there. You know, that means he's never lost to the 26th team. Like... I hate to give credit to that guy, but wow.
By the way, this is the show that wants to make sure that nobody goes just bouncing, flipping happy into your weekend. Because Ray's here, we have a level of depression we like to leave all of our listeners with, and we usually like to leave you feeling a little old. Normally, we go all the way back to like, wow, this album is 50 years old now, 40 years old, 30 years old. This is only 18 years old, but would you believe that today, this is 18 years old.
1, 2, 3. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
As unquestionably an easily consumable moment in hip hop, and and rap that, I mean, you can play this at weddings, and old white ladies hop out of their seat to dance to it. It's still a banger, kids. It still works on the radio every time. Ray, shake it like a Polaroid picture.
No, but I'll tell you a story about this song.
We have to go fast.
Okay, my kids listen to this all the time, and I said, you know what this is? This is your generation, Sly and the Family Stone, and I played a song from them. They got hooked into Sly.
Good.
It's another reminder that rap inherited a lot of the things it does and then restructured it for a new generation.
That's some good parenting.
I'm a hell of a guy. I'm the father of the year. I'm a lousy human being, but I'm the father of the year.
I thought you were going to go to another anniversary that's coming up, but it's still 2 weeks away, so I won't even mention it yet.
Ooh, that's called an extreme tease.
Extreme tease.
Let me give you a real quick tease. Rich Eisen's going to join us next here on 95.7 The Game, and we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Demon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you here today, and it's great to welcome in Rich Eisen, who is NFL Network down to the socks. And when Ray Ratto texted him, "Were you doing anything today, Rich?" He was nice enough to say, "Yeah, we'll do something with you guys." Thank you very much, Rich Eisen. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How's everybody on this fine Friday?
Hey, we're great, and that's because it's football season once again. Whether or not we can watch Jimmy Garoppolo hold off Trey Lance is going to be a huge topic all season long in San Francisco. The first football topic is kind of where we left off last season. How much longer can Tom Brady just give the Heisman to Father Time? He seems to be ageless, and that was a spectacular game to kick off the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even a hint of a whiff of a diminishing return. And it's amazing. It truly is a testament to his year-round commitment to whatever he's doing, and to keep in shape and keep mentally sharp and keep finding whatever he needs to motivate himself to, you know, not eat sugar or get into bad habits on the football field with his footwork or whatever. It is something we'll never see again. I mean, we'll never see again. And, you know, I mentioned on my show today what kind of struck me last night, too, that can kind of keep him going in his competitive spirit. You know, when he's hugging Drew Brees before Drew does his first assignment in a regular season game for the media, you know, it's just the latest line of somebody who's been put in the same sentence of GOAT with him or a competitor of his or somebody who's either vanquished him or he's vanquished, that he could sit there and go, you know, hey, have a great broadcast, and he's standing there in his uniform still. And he's the one running out there and then going ahead and beating another young buck coming for his throne. The last two quarterbacks that that he has consoled on that turf after beating them are Dak Prescott, despite throwing for 400 yards, and Patrick Mahomes, despite him being one of the most talented, physically gifted young quarterbacks the league's ever seen. And I think he draws inspiration and just think maybe that's the stuff he thinks about in June and May when he's staring at that cookie thinking, why not, you know? I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's something we'll never see again.
We here have obviously spent an awful lot of time talking about Trey Lance, and I think for good reason. But if you had to bet today, which of the five quarterbacks who went, you know, in the top 20 or whatever it was, do you think is going to have the biggest positive impact this season?
Well, I mean, Mac Jones is the one in a place where the coaching staff has been running the same system for two decades and had a whole free agent spending spree with a bunch of guys that are playing together for the first time. And he hasn't played in the NFL before, but he's played in a spot that's as closest to the NFL as you can get, and that's Nick Saban's Alabama. So you put that all together, and Mac Jones is set up for success, obviously, if he has the ability to absorb and what's being thrown at him in the film room and then pre-snap and then post-snap. But he's got a coaching staff that can prepare somebody. But Trey Lance, if he gets in there, I mean, this team is totally locked and loaded if they are healthy, and they appear to be so. They've got so many physical ball carriers on this team, from the tight end to the wide receivers to the running backs. And if Trey Lance can add himself to that mix, it adds an incredible wrinkle and dimension for a coach who knows exactly how to add more with those wrinkles and dimensions. And so Garoppolo can start. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Lance in the red zone quite a bit, and or, you know, on third and must-haves, potentially, and short yardage, regardless of where they are on the field, you might see that. And then at some point, you know, and I don't think anybody's going to get really much of a heads-up or an indication, because as Kyle Shanahan likes to say, he'll do it when he darn well pleases, and he'll let you know whenever he wants. One week, I think, you know, out of the blue, we'll just hear Lance is starting. Like, okay. And you might see a situation similar to the last time San Francisco made such a switch in the middle of the season that my boy Jim made with Kaepernick. And you can see somebody who's got the run and the pass with a dynamic offense around him and the ball carriers who can carry it out. That is, you hit the jackpot. And if Bose is healthy and the rest of that defense is healthy, I mean, you've got a Super Bowl contender on the spot.
Rich,
so I don't know what's going to happen, but that's my long-winded answer. There's Zach Wilson as well, who people are kind of not thinking about because the Jets stunk on ice. It's an exciting group of rookie quarterbacks, for sure.
Rich Eisen with us on 95.7 The Game. The old saying being two quarterbacks means you don't have one. Well, we sort of saw Sean Payton and the Saints, you know, give us a little Taysom Hill taste, and that did in many ways work. It feels like Kyle Shanahan is perfectly positioned to be maybe the first guy to really figure it out, if that's what it's going to be. We were debating his offensive genius status the other day, and normally it's an angry, bitter Raider fan who'd say, you're confirming offensive genius status on Kyle Shanahan way too early. You talk to every single person involved in the league. are we going too far to say that Kyle Shanahan has that badge?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And anybody who's in the league will tell you how widely respected he is. And in order for somebody to try a two-quarterback, lack of a better phrase, system, you need to have a coach who has full free reign and isn't worried about losing his gig because he's that good and the front office and ownership has that much faith in him. And I think that's the reason why Sean Payton can say, you know, we're going to try Taysom Hill when Drew Brees is out, and even though he got Jameis Winston, and we'll actually take Drew Brees, you know, Mr. Record Book, out and put Taysom Hill in every now and then. And that's the way you can do it, because Sean Payton is tenured in New Orleans and Kyle Shanahan has that opportunity here. And I think it would be derelict if Trey Lance doesn't get on the field. Honestly, I mean, you saw in their final preseason game that Lance played it. You saw for the first, like, you could see the difference between the vanilla stuff that's being run in the preseason, and then they start showing you stuff that looks a little more, the phrase that pays in the NFL, exotic. You know, you saw the touchdown run that Lance had in his preseason game, and just, you look at it and go, wow, okay, now I get it. And not a lot of people have seen it yet, or think that the kid hasn't played a competitive football game that counts in over a year plus, and he's not ready for it. I, as you know, thought they were going to take Lance all along. I heard they loved him pretty much from jump, and needed to confirm it. And I think, you know, that's going to prove out by seeing him on the field. And, you know, at one point they'll bring him in a big situation, and the kid might fumble it, or he might not perform very well, and you'll hear, well, two quarterbacks equals none. But Kyle Shanahan will just go back to the drawing board, and he'll keep doing it because he's got tenure, and Lance is that good.
Rich Eisen, he's the best. That's why NFL Network picked him to launch the whole kit and caboodle. We thank him very much for joining us today. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all week. We look forward to talking to you on Monday and recapping week one. Everyone, have a great first weekend of football in the NFL. Thanks very much to Lucas and Grandy Maldonado. Our guests today were outstanding. Thank you very much to the Princess of Darkness herself, Amy Trask, Brian Baldinger, Mr. Eisen. For Mr. Ratto and Mr. Kolsky, I'm Damon. Thank you very much for listening, and please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.